Let me say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
And we want to welcome those who have several that are visiting with us. We want to thank you for choosing to worship with us on this morning. Amen?
Amen.
And we're welcome, thankful to those that are members here at Highland Heights that are here with us. And we want to know from the Word of God, beginning in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 and 47, our purpose for being here, and that is to worship God. Amen? Luke penned and wrote in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So when they had the first worship service to worship God, those five acts, they had teaching. They communed with the Lord in breaking of bread. They also shared. Fellowship means to share what God has blessed you with. Also, they had prayer. And then in verse 47, the Bible says, praising God, they sung, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So you're here this morning, and you're not a Christian according to the Bible. We want you. Our heart's desire is that you'll become a Christian. We had on last week, you come up and you obey what the commands of the Lord. I'll share those specific acts that one must do in order to become a child of God. And we hope that you will be added to the church today, because no one is saved, no one, until they're added to the church. Amen? Amen. Anyone that's of the age of accountability, you must obey the Lord in order to be saved from your past sins. Amen? All right. And so those that are visiting, we're studying in the book of 2 Timothy. We're continuing with that letter. And so this morning, we want to speak from the subject, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. Thank our brother for reading that this morning. This is something that the Word of God reads, that a Christian is required not to do. What is it? We will study that and other things on this morning. Amen? So we're picking up at verse number 15 in Paul's letter to Timothy. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, a worker that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is the responsibility of the reader to understand and obey the word of God for his approval. Yeah. If one is to be approved of God, there is no shame. There is no shame. So when we look at the word study, a working definition from the word study, is to seriously and continually put forth oneself into this action of study or reading. So it is, again, to seriously and continually put oneself in this action of studying. We find an example in the Bible in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. The Bible talked about the Bereans. The Bible said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. These people read the scriptures every day to confirm what they had received. And I say to all of us, we need to read the Bible every day. You need to check on me. You need to confirm what I'm saying is actually in the scriptures. Amen? That's an example. So if I have been one that, well, I haven't been reading every day, my life has been busy, you never get too busy to study the Word of God. Amen. We have to all make time to study God's word. And then once we study, we have to obey. But then also, Paul said in that verse, he said we had to rightly divide. Rightly divide. That word rightly divide means to cut straight. Yeah. To rightly deal with the word of truth. Yeah. Give us a little test this morning. The Bible is divided into how many testaments, church? How many testaments? You have an Old Testament and a what? All right. Got an A on that. You made A. Yeah. You got an A on that. There are two testaments. The Bible can also be divided into three dispensations. This Bible that I have can be divided into three dispensations. What do you mean by dispensation, Brother Stroud? By definition, a dispensation are a system of revealed commands and promises regulating human affairs. So the Bible has three different dispensations. Yeah, let's look at those. Right, let's divide that. Rightly divide. Well, the first one we find in Hebrews 7:4. The Bible says, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. So the first of these dispensations in the Bible is referred to as patriarchal. That's where you get the word patriarch from. Patriarchal. That means a man who is ahead. During that time, God spoke directly to the head. Get your Bibles. Look at Genesis chapter 12. See an example of that. Yeah, we're talking about the patriarchal age. So in that age, God talked directly to the head. In Genesis chapter 12, in verse number 1, the Bible reads, now the Lord has said unto Abram, who became Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So that first age, the first dispensation, was the patriarchal dispensation. This dispensation starts in Genesis chapter 1, and it goes to Exodus chapter 19. Genesis chapter 1 to Exodus chapter 19. That is called the patriarchal dispensation. Yeah. Genesis chapter 1 to Exodus 19. Now turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let us find that second. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Work your Bibles a little bit this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We need to be able to read, study for ourselves. Amen. Amen. Study for ourselves. Let me get there. That's in the Old or New Testament, 1 Corinthians. Y'all help the preacher out this morning. First or second, is that New Testament or Old Testament? All right. 1 Corinthians, I know you knew that. Now, notice what the Bible says. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. He wrote, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. And the Bible says in verse number 2, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The second of these dispensations can be referred to as Moses' dispensation. It begins with the giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20. That began the Mosaic dispensation. At that time, now God no longer talked to the head of the house. God then had prophets that would tell the people what God wanted them to know. That's why when you look at some of the prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah, those were spokespersons for God. God no longer talked to the head of the house. God had spokesman for him. Yeah. And this dispensation starts at Exodus 20, and it goes through Acts chapter 1. Yeah. Acts chapter 1. Yeah. From Exodus 20 to Acts chapter 1. Because turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and hear what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 5 concerning the law of Moses. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, he said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to," yeah. So Jesus lived and died under the Moses dispensation. And that's why people say, David had instrument. David was never a Christian. David lived and died under the Mosaic Moses dispensation. So we got to know when we study the Bible where we go to. Yeah. So Jesus established the fact, I came to fulfill the law of Moses. So the second dispensation goes again from Exodus chapter 20 when Moses gave the Ten Commandments, and it goes through Acts chapter 1. Yeah. All right, Brother Spire, what's the third dispensation? I heard you ask that question.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26. The Bible says, and when he had found him, when he found Paul, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciple was called Christians first in Antioch. And when you studied, I did some study on this, God didn't allow the word Christian to be used until both Jews and Gentiles became Christians. Yeah, that's important for us to understand. Yeah, God waited until that time period in Acts chapter 11. Let me show you that. Acts chapter 11. Turn your Bibles there. Yeah, we're talking about the Christian dispensation. In Acts chapter 11, the Bible tells us that in verse 19, for the sake of time, the Bible says, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. The Bible says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The Lord allowed the word Christian to be used until you had an integrated congregation. Yeah. God knew what he was doing.
Yes, he did.
And so the third dispensation is the Christian dispensation. The Christian or Christianity begins in Acts chapter 2 with the start of the Church of Christ. This dispensation starts in Acts chapter 2, and it continues through the book of the Revelation that God gave to John. Yeah. So we have to understand when you're dividing, rightly dividing, we got to know what dispensation we're in. Amen, somebody. Well, Brother Stroud, What about stuff in the Old Testament? Well, Paul, when he told the Romans, he said in Romans 15:4, things that were written aforetime was written for our
learning.
Yeah, but now understand this here. Now, sometime, there are times, whenever something that is written in the Old Testament is now written in the New Testament, it becomes law for us. Well, give me an example, Brother Scott. I'm glad you asked that question. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Yeah, Romans 13. And in verse number 9, when Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, well, I started verse number 8. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. That's the law of Moses. Then he named some things. He said, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet it. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now notice this. In Exodus chapter 20, you find where God told them in Exodus 20 and the verses number 8, God told them, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Yeah, but notice in Romans, you don't see the Sabbath. That didn't come over. Yeah, so we got to know, we got everything that, if I see something written in the Old Testament, it becomes law for me when I read the New Testament. Now, there are principles in the Old Testament that it was wrong to kill anybody, no matter whatever dispensation you lived in. That was wrong. When Cain killed Abel, that was wrong. Yeah. In the Mosaic dispensation, it was wrong. Thou shalt not kill. In the Christian dispensation, it's still wrong. Yeah, but again, for us understanding, when it comes to a binding on the Christian, then I have to read that in the New Testament. That makes sense? Yeah, so we have three dispensations. Paul talked about, so we got to be able to rightly divide the word of God. I got to know when I'm reading in a patriotical time, there was everybody that was saved during Noah's day got into an ark. For us to be saved today, we got to get into the church. So when I'm studying, I got to know those things. Amen?
Amen?
Let's continue what Paul said to Timothy. Paul said, Bashan, profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodly. Now, he told the preacher, he said, now, there are those biblical discussions that are not supported by Scripture. We are, the word shun means to stay away and avoid. We are to avoid them. A lot of times, members like to get into discussions that ain't in the Bible. Well, Brother Stroud, what do you think about it? What do you think about it? Well, I believe, where's your scripture? Amen, somebody. Yeah. Because we want to be a congregation of the book. Brother Stroud, give me book, chapter, and... Yeah, so I can go read for myself. But Paul told Timothy, be careful now. Be careful, because people start saying stuff, and what he said it'll do, it's going to increase, it's going to lead to being more ungodly. Yeah, because see, when you start worshiping and doing things that you don't show respect for God, then it'll lead to more ungodly. Let me correct myself. Someone brought something to my attention. It's a good time to correct it. I said basing in the mic. Let me correct myself on that. Because basing is actually a voice sound. Amen. You have bass, you have soprano, you have alto. Yeah, so what I'm talking about when, I was saying last week, when you have members that are boom booming in the mic to give the sound of something.
That's right.
Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Now, we ought to sing. Yeah. We talked about last week. God created man, gave him... Ezekiel said he had pipes. Man now call it a wind pipe. Same thing. God gave us voices to sing praises to him, not to be in the microphone. Yeah. People say, well, I don't have no respect for that. I have no, because it's going to lead to more ungodliness. And when you have congregation and you have leadership, those that have elders and ministers, and you allow that, all it does, now you pacifying the congregation. Yeah, you pacifying them. Well, we're going to lose members. Members go where they want to go. And members do what they want to do. And they have a right to go and do what they want to do. But my responsibility for this congregation is to preach the word of God. And I'm going to stay sound. And those that don't want to, that's your issue. Well, Brother Scott, I don't think. I need scripture. All you got to do is show me one time in the Bible where bait was allowed. Yeah, one time. You ain't got to show two too many. If you show it to me twice, that's too much. Because when I read my Bible in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse number 15. Turn there. And we're going to get through this lesson this morning. Amen. But let me establish some stuff here. In Hebrews 13:15, what I read, the Hebrew writer said, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Whenever you see the word that, oftentimes behind it tell you how to do something. So when you read your Bible and it say that, it's going to tell you how to do it. He say that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. When we assemble, we are to praise God. We are offering a sacrifice to God. It's with the fruit. In other words, fruit produces something. We're producing with our lips praise and thanks to God what God has done in our lives. Yeah. So let me say that. I'm for anyone and anybody that stand with the scripture. But don't ask me to support something that's not in the Bible. Yeah, but child, I don't. No, I'm just saying. I'm letting you know now. I'm going on record right now. Yeah. And that's why, Brother Stroud, while I'm here, Brother Stroud, well, can't you put this in? I don't know what other congregations are doing. Yeah, it may be a good idea. I don't know that. I don't know how they're worshiping. Yeah. I'm trying to serve this congregation here. Yeah. Congregation do what they want to do. That's up to them. I don't know. And I found sometimes you can go visit someplace 2 years ago, and you go back 2 years later, and it didn't totally change. You got other people leading, and people trying to keep, they're concerned about membership and all that stuff there. Yeah. See, I put my trust in God. God will take care of things. Ain't worry about no man. Ain't no one person. No, you. If I die today, you can find you another preacher. Yes, you can. Yeah. You pray about it and ask God to send you somebody. Yeah. I just want to say, let me share that with the congregation so we'll know where I stand. Yeah, yeah. Our bulletin is about Highland Heights Church of Christ. I don't know what nobody else is doing. Hopefully, and that's why we pray for them, that all of us or do according to the word of God. Now, are we in error in something? We are. But when we see those things, we're supposed to point them out to me, and we're going to make a correction. Yeah. So don't, let me say this to all of us. Don't ever get too big that nobody can't correct you. And don't you ever get too big where if you see yourself wrong, you don't admit it. That's like when I was preaching previously, and I said, I used the word Greek word. That wasn't no Greek word. That was an English transliteration of a word. Yeah, when you see definitions in there, let me show you what I'm talking about here. Yeah, that word, O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O, that's an English transliteration of that word. That's not the Greek word. That makes sense? Yeah, so I was in error in that sin. I had to come back to church. And when I read, I said, wait a minute, Pastor, you let the church know you was in error. Well, they won't know it. They don't have to know. I know. And I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it on myself. Yeah, I'm human. I make mistakes. And you don't have to ask Sister Stroud. I'm telling you now, I make mistakes. Sister Stroud, he makes mistakes. Yes, he do. How often, Sister Stroud? Every day. How often do you have to correct him? Every day. Did you correct him? This morning. Yeah. I'm human too. I'm human too. Yeah. Yeah. Paul said, yeah, so be careful. Then he referred to some people. He says, and their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. So what Paul said then is that when you get ungodliness, it's like the word canker is an eating sore. It's basically like gangrene. That's what Paul was saying. It's like gangrene. And what it does is it'll corrupt the church. When you start letting stuff in, it'll end up corrupting the church. You come back, you don't know what's going on. Yeah. These things that's ungodly spread corruption to the church. And now these are named false teachers in the church of Christ. Paul identified them. People say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't have said their name. Paul did. Paul did. Yeah. So if I were to say someone teaching something false, I have an example. But I wouldn't do that. Yeah, my first responsibility, I would try to go to the brother in love. I said, brother, you know, you talk this and that, and I'm just, I have a question. Where did you read that? Can you show me in the scripture where that was done? Yeah. Because we love everybody, amen? Yeah. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Paul says, who concerning the truth, notice what they did, they have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and it overthrow the faith of some. Well, Paul said, if you're not careful, people start saying stuff, it can upset people's faith. That's right. Yeah. Man, you saying stuff, man, the church going, when they're going to close the door, they're going to do all this. You're not careful, you'll overthrow somebody's faith. That's right. You don't know that. You don't know what God can do. That's right. And what God will do. Yeah. But if you're not careful, you can discourage people. And then Paul told him, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having his seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Paul assured Timothy, like I'm trying to assure the members here at Highland Heights, the foundation of God is solid and is firm. Paul said, we have this seal that we belong to the Lord. He said, the Lord knows them that belong to him. And then he said, let everyone who name the name, if you call yourself a Christian, I'm supposed to be trying to depart from iniquity. Yeah. Christians should work to separate themselves from unrighteousness, injustice, and wrong. Yeah, that's what Paul was telling him. Yeah. Yeah, you can't be a Christian and living in sin. Yeah. Well, Pastor, I know right now, I know we're not married, but right now it's convenient because he working and I'm working and we have to pay our bill. You living in sin. Yeah, I don't care how you justify, you know, and I'm going to say this here. Oftentimes when you go to members, let me drop this while I'm going there. And it apply to me too. When you go to someone about something, there's three things people can do. Sometimes there are justifications for something. I can justify it. Other times, I rationalize. And then I make excuses for something. Now, there is no justification for two people not being married, living together. That is sin. And you are living in sin. Well, what do I do, Brother Stroud? You find a place of your own. And he found a place of his own. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Brother Stroud, how do we answer that? Well, I just go to the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Yeah. Yeah, Paul said that. They asked him several questions. He wrote in chapter 7, he started answering questions. Know what he said, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Nevertheless, I'm sorry, at verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. They wrote Paul some questions, and Paul answered the question. He said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Yeah. How do I clean? You get married. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people want milk when it's free. They don't want the cow when they have to pay for it. Yeah, that's what the Lord says. Amen. You teach what's sound. Now you go do what you want to do with it. Yeah, but if I'm living with somebody and we shacking together, and if you have thoughts of stand, well, why don't we move together? You making this much money, I'm making this much money. That's sin. That's sin. Yeah. Get married. Again, Christians, Paul said, if you call yourself a Christian, I need to be working on departing from things that's not righteous, things of injustice, and things that are just not right. Amen? Amen? Then Paul said, but, he talked about the church here now, but, let me get there. He said, in the great house, there are now not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. Well, Paul was telling Timothy, in every congregation, there are those that have character like gold and silver. Then there's members that have character like wood and dirt. Yeah. You got some members that are honor, some members that are dishonor. You got some members that the word honor means useful. Then you got some members that bring shame to you. Yeah. Paul said that's in every congregation. Yeah. To notice, you know, what type of character do we have? What type of character do I have? Do I have gold and silver, or do I have wood and earth? Paul said, in a great house, in a congregation, you got all that. So don't come here on Sunday morning when we start Wednesday again. Don't come here thinking everybody going to treat you right. You got members in the church whose character is bad. It's like wood and it's like dirt. Then you got some members that have gold character. Their word is their bond. Everything they say, they're going to always treat you upright. That's what we should get to. Yeah. Paul said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Any person can change themselves to be fit for the master use. Anyone can change from dirt to gold if one is willing to repent and then study and obey the word of God. Any one of us can change. Yeah. I gotta repent of things. And notice Paul said to be fit. The word meet means to be fit for the master use. And then I'm ready to do some work in the Lord's church. Where can it start? Paul told us that, verse 22. He said, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that are called on the Lord out of a pure heart. Some of us, when we were young, were hot-headed. Somebody ought to say amen. Yeah, I know I'm not the only one. Yeah. Paul says you got to flee. Though, you know, sometimes when we were young, we just did whatever we wanted to do. Whatever comes to your mind, do it. You say whatever you want to say, do what you want to do. Paul said now, he told Timothy, you got to flee that stuff. You got to flee that stuff. Yeah. As we get older, we need to learn to follow. Look what Paul said, follow. Righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Yeah. We must constantly work to purify our heart through the Word of God. The only way your heart becomes pure is through studying the Word of God. There's no substitute. Yeah. So I got to work on myself. But I got to work every day that those youthful lusts, they're dormant. And I'm trying to do what the Bible say do. Amen? Paul said, but foolish and unlearned questions. He said, avoid them, knowing that they do gender strife. Understand this here. When you got foolish questions unlearned, be careful. Now, there's a difference. I'm not talking about a question that a person don't know and they're asking a question. That's different. I'm talking about people, you got, you know, sometimes there's underlining agenda with questions you ask. Paul said, avoid them. Because what it's going to end up doing is calling arguments. Yeah. And then getting to my subject, because I'm moving toward close. My title, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Yeah. So Paul said to Timothy, and each of us, those of us that are Christian, we are servants of the Lord. What does that mean, Brother Ralph? A servant is someone who owes obedience to another person. All of us that are Christian, we owe our obedience to Jesus Christ. Yeah. I owe obedience. I should be faithful to worship service. If I'm able to attend, I should be faithful. Why? I owe it to be obedient to the Lord. Yeah. And not just hitting and missing. I'm here 50% of the time. No, you need to be faithful. You're a servant of the Lord. And Paul said, Timothy, the word strive. What does that mean? Strive, Brother Stroud. Yeah. The word strive. And that's the English transliteration of the word. But the word means to argue in an angry way. In other words, it's a verbal fight. Paul said to Timothy, as a preacher, you should never see me arguing with somebody in an angry way. That's sinful. Yeah. Man, I saw Brother Stein out there. He was fussing with all the brothers. They was arguing back and forth. Yeah. And you servants too. You should never engage in an argument by definition simply means to give reason for or against something. I'm not talking about that. But it's how you do it. What causes the sin. When you get so emotional, now you hot and you warm and you yelling at each other. That's sinful. Yeah. He said, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Well, what's the answer, Paul? What's the answer? Right there in the verse. He says, but be gentle unto not only people in the church, but unto all men. He said, oh, Timothy, you're the preacher. Now, you got to show a kind nature. Brother Stroud, you got to show that your behavior is mild. Yeah. Also, you got to be skillful in teaching people. Then also, Brother Stroud, the word patience here means forbearance of those in error. When people do wrong, Brother Stroud, you got to be able to go to them when they're in error and manifest the proper spirit. Yeah. Where can I find that in the Bible, Brother Stroud? Turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 6. Show you that in the Bible. We got two other verses in them. The message is yours, trying to be timely. Amen? Yeah. But in Galatians chapter 6, Paul said this to the Galatian church. He said, brethren, If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are, Galatians 6:1, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, Brother Stroud, when you go to somebody, you go to them the same way you wanted them to come to you if you were in wrong. That's the spirit that I got to manifest. Yeah. I got to manifest that spirit. Paul said that that's the way you got to be, Brother Stroud. You got to, again, he says, he talked about how a gentle unto all men, apt to teach and be patient. Not only that, Brother Stroud, he says in meekness, verse 25, in meekness, he says, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God perhaps would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So Paul said to Timothy, also you got to, the word meekness still mean I'm concerned with correcting somebody in a gentle nature, not abrasive, not coarse, not hard. He says, instructing those, teaching those that oppose themselves. Sometimes people oppose their own selves and what they're doing. Then he said, if God perhaps, the word peradventure means perhaps, would give them repentance to the knowledge of truth. And I'm going to say this here. Some of us say, I repent of something. But in order to know that I'm wrong, I need to know what's right. Yeah, sometimes we say, I repent. Repent of what? I need to know. That's why he said, the acknowledging of the truth, I got to know what's right. In other words, I speed. The officer pulled me over and give me a ticket for speeding. You were speeding. Thank you, officer. And I go away. I need to know what the speed limit is. So I'm saying to Christians, when you repent, try to learn what's right. Amen. Brother Strong, so I repent of that. What should I have done? Here's what the Bible teaches. Yeah. Christians must learn how to treat one another when one has done wrong. Yeah. When somebody's wrong, we got to know how to go to them and how to speak to them. Why is it be done in this matter? My last verse, Paul said, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. The word recover means to return to soberness or self-control. In other words, I lost my control. I lost my soberness. Now I'm trying to recover myself. In order that I get out of the snare of the devil. See, the devil can get in us, and the devil can seduce us to do things that we know ain't right. Yeah. Amen. The devil knows what my attractions are. The devil knows what your attractions are. That's why when he went to Judas, he knew Judas was attracted by money. He knew that. He looked at the 12, I got one. So I'm saying to all of us, you have to look at things that attract you away from God. You have to develop self-control. Right. Yeah. And that he says, who are taken captive, because once you get that way, what the devil can do can lead you astray. People should be allowed also to see themselves. My last verse I'm giving. Luke 15. How did that happen, Brother Stroud? In Luke 15, when the prodigal son went out and did what he did, and I'm saying to some members sometime, this is where change starts. In Luke 15 and verse number 17, the Bible says concerning the prodigal son, and when he came to himself. Sometimes I got to look at myself and I got to see where I'm at. And sometimes let people see themselves, allow them to see themselves. And then when he saw himself, the Bible said, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise, watch repentance, and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. When you're wrong, you got to admit wrong. Some of us, a pride won't let us admit when we're wrong. You need to admit when you're wrong. Yeah. And your feet, that's that purging part. You know, sometimes when you say stuff and you admit you're wrong, it causes you to humble yourself. Yeah, you can't be a leader in the Lord's church and not show humility. Yeah, and I'm continually working on myself to become more and more humble, that I can be an example. Amen? The servant of the Lord must not strive. Yeah. We study the word of God. We make application. We do those things that we find written in the word of God. Amen? Yeah. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, how do one become a Christian? The Bible tells us there's one God, and there's a mediator. God had a mediator called Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ did for us, he became a ransom for us. He died. The Bible says something paid for the release of someone from captivity. Christ died for all of us. And the Bible says it holds good to those that are obedient to the conditions in the Bible, 1 John 2 and 2. So what did Jesus say we have to do? There's five things one must do to become a Christian. In Luke 11, 28, Jesus said, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. So you got to hear something. Then Jesus said, answered and said unto them, that you believe on him who he sent. You got to believe that God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, I believe that he sent him. Well, that's in the Bible. Then you got to repent of your sin. Repentance begins with, I got to turn from the lifestyle I've been living. You've been living without God. You got to turn to God. That begins repentance. Because Jesus said, if a person don't repent, you're going to be totally lost. The word perish means destroyed. You won't go to heaven. Then I have to make a confession. Come up here, as the person did last week, you made the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Bible says if you confess that, then Jesus confessed to the Father, you before him. So I made the confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay, I got those four, Brother Stroud. So I hear the gospel. I believe it. I repent of my sin. I confess Christ. What's the final thing I must do? Jesus said, to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ died for our sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day, never to die again. That's the gospel. Jesus told them, those disciples, when he sent them out, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved when they pass in. He that believeth not, you're going to be damned. So if anyone today desire to become a Christian, you can come today. And all you'll do is make the statement, you repent of your sin. I make the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then the Lord, then we'll conclude that as we did last week. We'll conclude your obedience in water baptism. The Lord will add you to the church. Does anyone like to respond to the gospel message? We bid you to come. Together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed thy warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face thy judgment unprepared.